And we'll start with verse 13. Hold your peace. Let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth and put it in life and mind and hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. I think we'll stop right there. Jesus, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to come together. Thank you for the word that we've already heard from song. And I pray that as we share together in these moments, that God, the Holy Spirit, would descend upon our hearts and our minds. Draw us to yourself. May these moments together be profitable. Guide and direct us in all that we say and do. Hide us by the cross, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated at this time. Songwriter said, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, the sky, mountains meets the sky. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion, may it be through flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered by the blood. That's a beginning point tonight. We have become a part of the apostolic community over the last 5 years. Out of a denominational background, things have changed drastically in my experience with the Lord through baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, so many other things. You'll have to excuse me tonight. I'm just a little bit... I don't know if you noticed this morning. I don't know if you noticed this morning my wife and some of the things that were going on with her. This was a day when she didn't know much was going on. She was kind of, I went to pick her up this morning, and she said, why are you here? And so, I don't want to weep all the time during this thing, but I've been wrestling with what I'd try to present tonight. And I've been reading and trying to put something together, and this passage from Job kind of leaped out at me, that we may have some things that go on in life that are pretty tough. And I'm not the pastor, I'm not the bishop, I'm me, but I'd like for us for a few minutes, if we could, to be honest with ourselves and not hold anything of what we may be experiencing back from God. We kind of live life, some of us, or maybe all of us in reality, we kind of live life trying to shelter ourselves from a lot of the things that are going on. We don't like to dwell on the fact that life sometimes is kind of tough. And we don't want to lay on the side of the things that are difficult. We want to praise God all the time. We want to lift up, be lifted up, and lift up all the time. In my 71 years living on this planet, I haven't found that to be reality all the time. I have found that life could be compared to the character of Job in the Old Testament. Maybe not in the same reference that he did. I haven't lost all my children. I haven't lost all my animals, although I was glad that one dog was gone. I haven't had to go out and beg for food yet, and I never plan on it. But if you read or even read the book of Job, you'll find that there's a lot of things that went on in this guy's life that weren't very pleasant. And probably you all know the book of Job, so I don't need to spend a lot of time there, but I'm going to. He had a lot of difficulties. And Job didn't know why he was going through what he was going through. He didn't know about the conversation between God and Satan. He didn't know all the things that were going to take place in his life. He didn't know that he was going to lose all this stuff. And we tend to think in our lives of the material. I live in a retirement community, and I work in a retirement community. You know what conversations are in communities like that? Well, today I've got to go to the doctor. And then to the drugstore. And then I've got to take this test, you know, on and on and on. And there we go. It can be kind of depressing if you allow it. Young people, you ought to be thankful that you're young. This too, well, I won't. But Job faced a lot of things that he didn't have any control over and didn't know anything about what was going on. Tell me something. In your experience of living, how many things do you know about that are going on that you would like to see different? How many times would you... I said this morning, I know it'll never happen because I know once I get to heaven, those things won't matter to me. But I said to somebody this morning, maybe one or two people, if and when I get to heaven, there's one question I'd like to ask Jesus. Well, I know I wouldn't do that, but, you know, we say that. Honestly, we do say it once in a while. If you don't, you're in church. And we want to know what is going on and why it's going on and what we can do about it and how soon can I get out of this mess and how soon can this thing all be changed. In this passage of Scripture, this section of the Scripture that I read this tonight, it's in the midst of Job talking with three of his friends, guys who had come to tell Job what it was all about and to help him understand that maybe Job was, maybe he was the problem and that maybe he ought to do something different in his life. And even to the point where even his family said to him in a moment of time, maybe you ought to curse God and die and get it all over with. And then I come to chapter 13, and I see, even in the midst of this discussion that Job is having with his friends, those guys who thought that they could give him encouragement, but I'm not real sure that they were trying to give him encouragement, but they were there and talking with him, and they were going through the whole gamut of things that were going on. And then he said, I think, some profound things that carry over in life when we're going through those things. Though everything may go belly up, an old term, or sour, or all the difficulties may come along my pathway. If everything goes bad, you lose your loved ones, you lose your family, your family has nothing to do with you, you're financially devastated, you're struggling spiritually. If all those things are going bad in life, and I pray and trust God that they're not, but if they are, let's be honest with ourselves. What are we going to do? Where are we going to stand when all those things go bad? And I know Pastor LJ and Brother Kramer and Brother Dathraj haven't talked about these things very much, but God has somehow said tonight is the night. There are some of you, if we were honest with ourselves, and I don't know a whole lot of you, but there are some of us who are going through some tough times. And we want to appear like everything is coming up roses, and we want everybody when they say to us, "How are you doing?" We praise the Lord, I'm doing good. Folks, it's not always like that. We're not always doing good. And I haven't said this to anybody. I've had some people praying for me about some things, but I made the mistake of going to the doctor for my annual checkup. And he saw something that he didn't like. And this week I'll be going through two tests, and I got to tell you, I'm a little concerned. I don't tend to get all that upset about medical things, because I know the great physician. If he wants to take care of that, he can. If he doesn't, though, what does it say? Though he slay me. Things aren't always good in our lives. But I think, in reality and in living, if we follow the examples that are given to us in the Bible, we've got a prime example here of Job. Didn't know the circumstance of why things were happening. Had friends that were trying to do whatever those friends were trying to do. He could say in the midst of that, though he slay me, I will trust in him. And friends, that's not just something that ought to come off our lips, ought to slide out of our mouths or whatever, because we think we ought to say it. If we're living for Jesus, if we're filled with God's Holy Ghost, if we're doing what we ought to be doing, whatever happens in our lives, the good, bad, and the indifferent, whatever's going on in our lives, we ought to have the same kind of attitude that Job had, that whatever happens in life, whatever's going on in life, the good, the bad, if I'm living on the mountaintop, praise the Lord. If I'm living on the hillside, praise the Lord. If I'm down in the valley, praise the Lord. Wherever I am, in whatever situation, whatever problem, whatever victory, though God would do whatever he wants to do, I am ready for God to do whatever he wants to do. I guess I can go home now. I've got that off my heart. Trusting God is the ultimate of what we ought to be doing. It boils down to whether we believe what he says is true or not. And we can look through the Old Testament and we can look through the New Testament and we can find example after example of people who believed that God knew what he was doing and followed those directions in their lives. And we might want to wrestle with the question of how can we trust God? I've always thought that I could trust somebody because of the experiences that I've seen happen. I think I can trust God in those experiences that have happened, or may even be happening, or may in the future happen. I think I can trust God because what God says is always true and faithful. People in the Bible followed persecution and had things going on in their lives. Look at Peter's life when he cursed, when he went out, left Jesus. Jesus didn't leave him by the seashore. After the resurrection, he and Peter had a good conversation, and they walked down the side of the, what do you call that, the lake, the beach. They walked on the beach and had a good conversation. By the way, let me interject this here. 2 weeks ago in Sunday school, I was trying to describe what I was doing 50 years ago in work. I was making coils for industrial motors, and I couldn't remember the word coil. To save my life, I couldn't remember that. I knew what it was. I did it for when I was in college. I couldn't remember that. My wife, as we were walking out of church that Sunday morning, said, "Weren't you trying to talk about coils?" 50 years ago, she remembered that. Anyways, let's get back to where we are. Believe by the experience. Peter, when he and Jesus were walking down on the shores that day, had a wonderful conversation, and Jesus got a hold of Peter's heart again, and things began to move the way they should have moved. We may have some difficulties in our walk with Jesus. We may have some difficulties because of some of the things that we are experiencing. But when we get close to him, when we walk together with him down along the seashore and hear what he has to say to us, we can put our trust and our confidence in him. We can't. There's nothing in this world that I can depend on except Jesus and the moving of the Spirit. There are things that we know are going to happen. And Job knew what was going to happen. He knew that someday he was going to die. We're going to do that someday, whether it's in when Jesus comes or through the grave, something we can't escape. How are we going to handle it between now and then? We may face, even in America, sometime a time of persecution. What are we going to do? We're going to hide or take our stand for Jesus. God tells us in his word over and over again that we can keep our trust and our confidence in him. We may not know tomorrow, and I don't. I wish I did. But I have enough faith and belief in Jesus Christ and in the inspiration of his word to believe that he put that in there. God the Holy Spirit put that in there for you and for me, maybe tonight. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And that's pretty much, you're going to get out early tonight, folks. That's pretty much it. Trusting in God is based on the fact that he has been faithful down across the years for countless thousands, yes, even millions. And even though we may ask God for certain things to happen in certain places, and we may not get the answer that we want, and things may not turn out the way that we want them to turn out, we still, by the word of God and the testimony of our hearts, can know in our hearts and our lives that our faith and our trust can be in him and him alone. How do we come to the place that Job came to? It's simple. I think sometimes we make this thing of serving Jesus more complicated than it ought to be. I think even in the times when we're going through those difficult things, that's all we see is the difficult. You know, when the doctor told me that I had to go through this test that I've never had to have before, and told me that this had to happen and that had to happen. You know, that kind of made me concerned. I got to thinking, well, what is going on? and why is it going on, and what's the results? And you know, you maybe you don't dwell on those kind of things, but this old man does once in a while. And then I'm working over Evergreen Apartments, and I vacuum the carpet every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I guess that's a new thing for them over there. They never experienced that before. But it gives me time. It gives me time to think about the things of God. And as I was doing that either last week or this week, I think the Holy Spirit was trying to deal with me in some of these things and kind of talked to me about where my trust is. And that tells me that even though I'm a child of the King, and even though I'm trying to live for Jesus as best I can, Satan is always trying to get us messed up in our thinking, always trying to defeat us. I don't care how spiritually you are, how spiritual you are, how much you're serving Jesus, Satan will never leave us. And when he knows a point that he can turn the screws a little bit, he'll do it. And our response to that ought to be, the blood of Jesus covers it all. Though he slay me, yet. And I guess what I'm trying to say tonight in my feeble way, if those things are happening in your life, those difficult things, those physical things, maybe some spiritual problems, financial, whatever that might be, emotional, whatever that might be, remember that Job, who had everything, I mean, he probably was one of the wealthiest men in town. He probably had one of the best families in the beginning. And all that was taken away. And even to the point where his wife had something to say about that, about him and what was going on. And he stayed true to God through all of it, the good times and the bad. And the beauty of that is, if you continue to read the book of Job, at the end of the book, what did God do after Satan had his day? God blessed Job and met his needs and gave him a family and gave back what he had lost. I'm not saying that'll happen to us, but I am trying to say that if we're faithful to him, if we can accept what's going on, though they may be difficult things, though they may seem like they're slaying us right now, though he may take everything away, we stay true to him. The bottom line is, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And I trust that as we go from tonight, I'm going to turn this over to the bishop and let him close it. But as we think about the character of Job, and maybe how some of the things that were going in his life might apply to us, may the Holy Spirit direct us and help us to understand that our trust and our faith needs to be in Jesus. Salvation comes by the blood of Jesus. Meeting our needs comes by Jesus in our lives. Though the difficulties may come, may we always keep our trust and confidence and faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Can't imagine what it was like to be God in a garden with all these emotions on the inside, all these feelings, all these question marks, all these doubts, and for him to come to a place where after a 3-hour prayer meeting, he says, "Not my will, but thine be done." The Bible says by him actions are weighed. Not emotions. I've been in the valley. And you know what? He was there. I didn't like it. I didn't appreciate the emotion, the feeling. All of those things were a part of it. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even in the middle of all of my emotions, I can purpose in my heart to trust him. One of my favorite Bible stories, they're all good, but some are just, you relate to more than others, I suppose, because they minister to the needs in your life. And Jesus had had quite a congregation, they assume about 20,000 people. There's 5,000 men plus the women and kids, and he had just been working miracles and feeding 5,000 of them, and plus the kids and all that, with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And things were, just, if I was multiplying food up here, well, we do across the food bank, we kind of multiply things over there. But if I was just doing miracles, and then I just preached a great message, and then I had a congregation of 5,012 until 10 minutes ago. And now I have a congregation of 12. 20,000 of them just walked off. That's a pretty good church split. Not bad at all. And Jesus looks at his disciples and at Peter and says, "Will you go away also?" This was not a worried, paranoid Christ. It was a Christ who says, "The truth is the truth, and it's not going to change for you. If you don't like it, join the rest of them while they walk away." And in the middle of that dust cloud, while all these people are walking away, Peter says, and I've hung my hat on this verse many a time when life has not been fair and life was hard to understand and confusing. Been many a time I've hung my hat on this. "Where would I go? You have the words of eternal life." You know what? Where would I go from here? I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how confusing it gets. I don't care how emotionally up and down this roller coaster I get. Where would I go? You've got the words of eternal life. So I think I'll just stay. With all of my feelings and questions and concerns, I think I've anchored in Jesus. The storms of life I'll brave. I've made up my mind that with eternal words of eternal life, I'm going to hold on to them. Would you stand with me?
"And though you slay me, yet I will praise you. Though you take from me, I will bless your name. Though you ruin me, still I will worship and sing a song to the one who's all out left me. Sing a song to the one who's all out left me." He said, "And though you slay me, yet I will praise you. Though you take from me, I will bless your name. Though you ruin me, still I will worship, sing a song.
When I was a young person a few years ago, we'd have sword drills. Anybody know what a sword drill is? Okay. We'd have sword drills, and then we'd have quote-a-thons. Who can quote the most verses? The most quoted verse is found in the book of John. No, it's not John 3:16. Anybody know what it is? Which says, see, we still know it. In that little bitty short sentence, just those two words, I think it kind of capsulizes what you're trying to say tonight, Brother Hunter, that he didn't just start weeping because he was feeling good. He went, "Oh, well, I think I'll just cry. I remember asking one of my kids, I don't remember, I think it was Dorinda, years ago, she was sitting on the couch crying, and I went, well, why are you crying? Because I want to. Oh, well, then cry on, I don't care. But I don't think it was quite that way. Jesus wept. He was moved with emotion. He was moved with feeling. He was moved with all this stuff. And in fact, he has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When the fear comes on us, he knows what we're feeling. When the question marks come, he knows. And so tonight, I would encourage you, we don't normally present it just that way, but the truth is we've all been there. We just sometimes don't want to admit it, but we've been there. We've been the place where we just want to sit down and weep, let the emotions roll, let it all. But I have purposed and determined in my heart, here's where eternal life's at. I will not change. I will not leave. I will not run away. I will not alter what is truth. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to hang on to it. And I'm going to believe him.
Though you slay me, yet I will praise you. Though you take from me,
while they're singing, if the devil's put you on a guilt trip about having these emotions, and he has, I think probably all of us, let's take a moment out here just to walk here. This altar is a place where we can say, okay, God, I put on a good front, but I'd just like to weep for a little while. Just, God, just know that I'm hurting and the feelings and the emotions are there.
Turn to the Lord, the one who's broken,
oh, hallelujah.
The one who's torn.
Lord, I believe you for it tonight. You're able. God,
you strike me
all my
down.
Feelings, all my emotions, all of my
say
weeping,
you
all
it
my sorrow.
Now that I may know
you're acquainted with sorrow. You're filled with all the sufferings of humanity and the temptations of heaven. I pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd help every one of us. God, recognize it because we have feelings, because we have emotions. Does not mean you've abandoned us. Does not mean you've left us. Does not mean, God, that you don't care. Doesn't mean that we can't cast all of our care upon you. It merely means, God, that somehow this humanity that we live in, God, needs to be brought back into relationship and submission to the one that we love more than anything else. I pray you do that as we stand here today. God, as we open up our hearts and our spirits, God, in honesty and openness and sincerity, just knowing, God, that we are humans. Lord, and we are but dust, and you know that. Your word declares that you know that. So, God, we stand here today knowing that, God, it's only by your goodness that we stand here to trust you. Trust you, Lord, whether we understand or not. Trust you whether we feel or not. Trust you, Lord, whether we can understand it or not. We're just going to trust you tonight, God, for all of these things. Choose to be. be. This is where I want to be. This is where, God, by your grace, I shall be. Spirit, God, in this moment of time, God, in absolute honesty, absolute, God, honesty and clarity and transparency tonight, Lord, that we can stand here and recognize, God, it is only by your grace that we stand. We are what we are by your grace. God, and your grace has kept us and anchored us. God, I believe for the hand of the Lord, the wind of God to blow here. And Lord, in this moment, Lord, that we would be able to trust you for all those things.
I pray.
Jesus.
I will bless your name, though you ruin me, still I will worship, sing a song to the one.
When David talked about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I heard a long time ago, it's we all are going to go through that. But don't pitch your tent in the middle of the valley. God never intended for you to stay there. It was, you're going to pass through the valley. Just keep right on going. You're not supposed to pitch a tent and live there. So thank you, Brother Hunter, for reminding us that we are human whether we like to admit it or not. Whether we want to accept it or not, we are incredibly. I got a haircut today. Nothing spiritual about that, one way or the other. But normally go in, sit down, get my hair cut, and it's over with, and I just pay the bill and leave. It was amazing. We got started. I'm telling all of these stories to this lady who, I don't know who she is. Works at some barbershop down there. What's it called? Somebody help me out. Great Clips out there. So I'm telling stories. You know what I'm telling? I'm telling stories about my dad. You know, I've never done that before. But I went in, and here we are, and so I'm telling about my dad and how when I was working for him that one summer at Furman University, and his one man had a heart attack, and so I filled in for him, and Dad said, look, I want you to do your job, but you don't have to pretend like you're working if there's nothing to do. So I said, okay. So I'm there. This guy walks in. I got my feet up on the desk. I'm reading a book. I think it was Louis Lamar or something. I don't know. And he needs something. I said, down here, third door down, fourth door, whatever it was. About that time, Dad walks in. He says, can I help you, Dr. Blackwell? And they get taken care of. And Dad says, after he leaves, he said, next time the president of the university comes in, would you take your feet off the desk? Well, the time I went home, and I just wanted to be a good son, and so I mowed the fields. Dad came home for lunch, said, oh, it looks nice. Did you see my pecan trees I just planted? I remember. I didn't see any pecan trees. They're gone. Or when he worked at 12 headquarters. What happened there? They needed somebody to shine shoes. I'm in the 6th, 7th grade, whatever it was. Need somebody to shine shoes for that summer for some reason. So Dad got me on. I was doing fine. They showed me how to do it. You had this black dye to cover up all the scuffs, and then you polished. And the guy came in while I was there and hadn't only been there about a week or two. He came in with 4 stars on each shoulder. I was impressed. So I'm looking up at these stars, stick the brush down in the dye, and run it up his leg. He never said anything, but I'm sure his shoe was full of black dye. He gave me a little tip and left when I got done. Now, I have never sat and talked to the guy at the barbershop about my dad, but we are creatures of humanity. We have feelings, and sometimes ones we don't even realize we've got. They just show up. But I'm just rattling on with all these stories about my dad, and she's just cutting away. We are human. God made us that way. He made us to be able to cry. He made us to be able to laugh. Don't let your emotions determine your decisions. But don't let your emotions put you on a guilt trip either. Okay? That's the way God made us, and there's nothing wrong with what God's made. God bless you. Shake hands. Yes, ma'am. Oh, Ruby, it's been a long time. There she is. Ruby, it is good to have you back. She has not been able to get here because we didn't have a handicapped vehicle, but we do now. I picked her up, and it's good to see her. I'm sorry. Been a year and a half, been a long time since we've had a handicapped vehicle. So God bless you. Shake hands, greet one another in Jesus' name.